All right, here we go. What episode is this?
177.
177. Not that I'll actually make a reference to it. But it's good to know.
Yeah.
All right, where's the tiny shutter? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and complain about internet problems. I'm Mark Sadowski.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferreira, and I have the internet problems.
So you're taking the third seat today, just in case you crap the bed. So, Joe, tell us where you can find you on the internet, just in case you crap.
You can find me on Instagram, Joseph Ferreira. All right.
There we go. So, iOS 10 came. How'd it fare for you guys?
Well, I haven't updated.
Smart move, Joe.
Me neither.
Oh, my God. So let me tell you my story, as though, you know, last week's woes of Mark Sadowski wasn't bad enough, although this is just icing on the cake at this point. So once the update dropped, I was all gung-ho for it. I was at work. I was able to download it. I had, you know, just a little bit of time before I had to pick up my daughter. I'm like, I think I could do it. And so I attempted it. And it was doing it. It was downloading it pretty good. And once I downloaded it, once everything got in there, I got the iTunes notification with the plug saying, you need to put this into iTunes. Your phone is now a brick. Yay. And so 3 hours later, I was able to get it all worked out. I had plugged it into iTunes, then it like restored back to, I think it was the previous update. And then from there, I was able to finally convince it to give me the new update. And now I'm back up and running. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to wait to do this to my wife's phone, and then everything will be fine. Just give it a day. And so I gave it a day. And then after I updated her phone, that's when she had the problem of how come it's not connecting to the internet? Everything is not working. The only thing that's working is the phone. And it turns out that T-Mobile is having issues with the new iOS 10 update. Oh, it's like, oh, come on.
I saw that.
And it's like, you know, the update, make sure you don't update. Oh, thanks. That's a little late for that.
Too late. Yeah. So let me ask you this. So you have T-Mobile. They put out a thing saying don't update it. If with all this nonsense, is there an official name for this? Is this Brickgate?
No, I don't know if it's. I don't know if it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, because it's not a. It's not a iPhone 7 problem.
No, it's. Sorry, my daughter wants more water. I'm in the kitchen, so bear with me here. So right now I'm dealing with Watergate.
Watergate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought for, you know, I was like, oh, they're trying to drum up some.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, you're trying to drum up some controversy, because typically what happens after a major update or a new release is you have to find the problem. We have to be able to knock Apple down a few pegs because of an issue.
Right.
Let's find something. Okay.
So I think Scuffgate was really trying to rank its way up there with the new iPhone 7s scuffing so easily. Because they have the new black finishes. They have the jet black, which is that very glossy finish that is there to be dark and a magnet for your fingerprints, which, by the way, how did no one see that coming?
Yes.
Like really, Johnny Ives, you're all in all seeing eye of design, and you couldn't see that this thing is going to just be a fingerprint magnet. Good one. But the jet, the regular black, which is I think the matte finish, that's been scuffing up pretty good too. So, you know, Scuffgate was on its way up. Bill points out in the chat room, at least it's not exploding. Yes, we small miracles. Which I think is why there is no gate right now, because Samsung is getting their free advertising for exploding phones. Yes. And so, you know, there's that.
Using everything.
Right. I mean, you know, free advertising. Hey, you know, take it when you can get it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, so far, I've done very... I've tried to take advantage of some of the new features. And right... it's been tough because right now it's my wedding season and I'm either editing photos or I'm photographing weddings right now. And it's really hard for me to like do any kind of iPhone photography, but for the stuff I've been doing, just little tests here and there, it seems pretty cool. The raw editing powers are interesting, and while we have, you know, the three of us haven't been able to take advantage of it as much as we'd like to, we have people in our audience that's been doing a phenomenal job, especially. Greg, I think he just posted something on our Facebook page and did a little write-up on the raw editing capabilities. And, you know,
I think he posted some images on his Flickr account.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. And so I have seen some really great work come from the raw editing feature. But, all right, just from I'm going to say this. At a glance, the one thing that's been bugging me is how – difficult it is to bounce around a raw file. Joe, I haven't been trying to upload anything. I wanted to see what I could do straight out of camera. And sure. So far, there's a few apps out there that are allowing for raw photography. One of them actually is Lightroom, coming out of nowhere as a kind of a sweetheart in this the raw landscape for the iPhone. You're now able to do raw photography with it, and I can't seem to I could ship it from one place to another, but am I shipping it to you're able to open it in something else, but I don't know if I'm opening the actual raw file in another app, or am I using just a high quality JPEG? I don't know. It's not as clear. And maybe I'm just being stupid. I mean, there's a very good chance I'm being stupid. Like 9 out of 10 chance that I'm being stupid.
I'm not so sure if it's you, because you could be correct, you know, and you're just talking about with the raw file from the actual phone is doing. You're not talking about importing a raw image in there.
Correct. All right. So I'm in Lightroom right now, and I just took a picture in the DNG format, and I go press the button to hang on. I'm going to, and it allows you to open in ... And it allows me to, when I click on that, it allows me to, hold on. I'm sorry, I had to sneeze. It allows me to do small format, which is 2048 pixels or maximum available. And when I do that, it's preparing the photo, but is it allowing me to then, you know, select another app and... All right, it's allowing me to select another app. I can import with Snapseed, import with Camera Plus, but I can't know for a fact that I'm editing the raw file.
That's something we'll have to test, I guess. Well, okay, so I fell off the face of the earth, but nobody else knew that until now. What program did you open that up in?
I took the photo in Lightroom.
Okay. Open. So, okay. So if you took the photo in Lightroom, does it automatically save the raw file to your camera roll?
No.
No. Can you open the file from Lightroom into Snapseed?
Oh, man. I really wish you would have listened. You didn't drop off the face of the earth. Because I just explained that I don't know if that's exactly what's happening. I didn't know you still off.
Okay, here's the only thing. The only way we know that Snapseed does a raw file is that it asks you if you want to convert the raw file.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at is, it looks like if you're using a device to take raw photos, the only way to edit that raw photo is the device that you took it in.
Okay.
Is what it appears to me. I could be wrong. But when I try to save it to the camera roll, like I go into, I'm looking into the EXIF data on what was sent to the camera roll, and it is not a raw file at all. It's a JPEG.
Now, I would try to help as much as I can, but I have a 6, and I don't think the 6 allows.
No, it doesn't.
The 6 to do raw. So the only thing I can do is import a raw file into the phone and then edit it.
Yeah.
I can't take a raw file from the phone.
Right. Bill in the chat room says it says DNG at the top of the Lightroom camera screen. Yes. But when I try to export it to the camera roll, or if I move it to another app, it looks like it's moving the JPEG version of it, not the actual raw file. I think the raw file stays in Lightroom.
Yeah.
And the native camera app cannot shoot raw, as Greg points out. I don't know. It's a little weird.
Well, I'm going to probably update this weekend, so I'll play with it this weekend and this coming week, so I could maybe speak a little bit more to this next week.
I'll have more time on Sunday to do I'll have more time to do some of my own photography at that time. So I'll be able to, hopefully I'll be able to chime in a little bit more, speak a little bit more with a little bit more knowledge on it. But I don't know. It's weird. Personally, I'm like right now, Lightroom coming out with the ability to shoot and then edit the DNG file. That's great and everything. But I am waiting for Camera Plus to march into that field and just own everything. I have a feeling that they're going to come out with something big, something great.
Possibly. I'd like to see something from Pro Camera.
Yes. Wait a minute, Pro Camera. ProCam? I think they already have it.
No, not ProCam. Pro Camera.
Oh, okay. That's another. Oh, man. So many apps. So many similar names. Right on. So, there's just. Yeah. I mean, there's so many big names out there that I think are going to do something crazy.
I wish I could help more, but I think it's a I don't know. I think I just don't understand. It might be Apple saying, well, you know, that version of your the iPhone that you have can it could possibly support RAW, but you know what? We're just not going to do it because we think there might be issues that may crop up.
Oh, this is definitely Apple telling everybody to play by our rules, and our rules is God, and you know that's just the Apple way. Yeah, there's nothing we could do about that. So it's just a wait and see. But in the meantime, you know, for what I have seen, people have been able to do some really awesome things with the editing process, and they've been able to make their photos better, and that's pretty rad.
Nice.
I mean, there's a noticeable difference between the clarity and the amount of editing possibilities for bringing out detail in a photo. The one thing I think people are also seeing is that raw file, it lives up to its name. It's pretty raw. It's not all peaches and cream. So, but you know, that's part of the fun, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So going forward, do you think there's going to be a bunch of apps that will jump on board of RAW with RAW, or do you think this is just kind of be one of those manual control deals that, you know, it was good for a little bit, but then it'll kind of fall off?
I think it's going to be here to stay. I think you're going to see the big name camera apps, between TapTapTap with Camera Plus, Jagger with their.
Yeah, I think Jagger should be the leading the way.
I'm actually rather happy that they're not leading the way right now, because that means that they're taking their time to make something great, and that's how I'm interpreting it.
Because they were able to create pretty large JPEG files.
Yes.
And not only large, but they were also very high quality.
Right. And, you know, they're doing...
I want to see a raw file with high quality and, yeah, like you said, done right.
Well, again, raw is going to be raw. I don't think there's no ifs, ands, ors about that. I just want to see somebody that makes the editing process easy. Because right now we're just, you know, batting, you know, at least I am. I'm bashing my head with, you know, where's this, you know, I'd like to edit with this app, but I can't, you know.
Okay, well, okay. So let's look at it from Adobe's standpoint. If Adobe says, yes, we can take and create and give you the raw file when you take it in our app. Oh, by the way, since we are an editor, we want you to edit in Lightroom. They're not going to give it off to somebody else.
Well, again, I don't know if they see, you know, there's the rub, because I don't know if this is an Apple thing or it's a Lightroom thing. I don't think it's a Lightroom thing. I think it really is an Apple thing, because there's another app out there that can shoot raw, and it's doing the same damn thing. And like, I'm trying to save it to camera roll, and it's not saving the raw file to the camera roll. Again, I could be, you know, smoking the ganja here, but you know, I have an app that allows me to view the EXIF data on an image, and you know, it's telling me that they're JPEGs. They're not RAW files. Again, I mean that, but you know, that's neither here nor there. It's the ability to shoot RAW is now here. A lot of people are taking advantage of it, and you know, I'm you know, I can't wait to dig in. I especially want to test this out on a waterfall if I could find one nearby, and have the time to do it. I think this is going to be really good for people doing landscape photos. It's going to be nice.
Oh, okay. So I'm looking at the update information on Lightroom, and it says that you can actually sync these photos and edits back to Lightroom Creative Cloud. I wonder if you can take the raw image from Creative Cloud and then pull it back into your iPhone, say, and take it and put it in Snapseed.
Oh, Creative Cloud can go roll a blunt and smoke it, because I ain't doing it. No, I don't want to do that. I've never done that. I hate the Creative Cloud. I think it's a stupid name by Adobe. And while I love Lightroom and Photoshop, no, I'm not playing by those rules. And again, that's me being a dick. I want to do it all within my app. I want to do it within my phone. That's the way it's going to be. So I'm just going to wait till Tap 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 or Jagger comes out with theirs, and then you know, we'll have it done right, and then Adobe can go cry in a corner, because you know, it's the way I feel. Damn it, learn how to do a Fujifilm RAW file too while they're at it.
Exactly.
Jesus. Come on, Adobe. You know, you had first access. Apple gave you the first crack at it, and you fail. Lightroom doesn't even have a sharpening tool. What's up with that? Greg in the chat room asks, can you use Lightroom Mobile without Creative Cloud? I don't know. I signed in.
It says you can still use Lightroom Mobile without Creative Cloud. Yeah, but this trying to get the raw image out of the Lightroom Mobile app is kind of where we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Is it transferable? Can you move it from one app to another? Or is it going to be proprietary either by default or by design?
I don't know. I think everybody should test out their own app that photographs raw and post it to our Facebook group, and yep. Show us what you're able to do. And you know, I can't wait to see it. And I think we've said all there is to it. Until we get to really test it out for ourselves, I think, you know, the fact that it's happening is really cool. I think it'll find its own audience. I think, but for the most part, I think I'm going to just do JPEG, unless I'm doing something, you know, quote unquote important.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't know I was that good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. What are your thoughts, Matt?
I don't know. I mean, I think I talked about it last week. I'm excited about it, but I can't really speak to it because I haven't used it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to this weekend. I'm going to download iOS 10, see what it does to my phone, and go from there. If it starts screwing up my phone, I may look at getting the 7.
So yeah, we'll see. I'm looking at probably getting my wife the 7, but I'm gonna stay with this one.
Yeah,
I have a 6S Plus, but you know. Right on. All right, moving on. I have something cool that I want to share. Something that I wanted to mention last week, but you know, we just didn't have enough time. But printing the iPhone photos, you know, now that we have all this crazy resolution and now that we can do RAW, I think RAW. It's time to do some more printing. And I think it was last year I tried out Parabo Press. They have an app on the App Store. If you do a search for Parabo Press, you'll be able to find it. but you're able to do a whole bunch of, I think, 20 or 25 5x5 square prints. And I tried it out again because they had a $5 special. And I got to say, guys, it's a lot better than what I remember it to be. last time I wasn't too impressed with the photos, but this time around, I think, I'm not sure if they did anything different, but the quality is really okay. It's like a high grade okay. It's the prints came out nice. It's kind of like one of those papery finishes. I don't know what you call it. I think it's called pearl finish. But it's nice. The cool thing about this app is that you can do all your printing from the app. I think the convenience factor is really nice. And the shipping process, I did standard shipping. I didn't rush anything, and it came to me within a week. And it made for great gifts. I gave some to my brother. I gave some to my sister. I gave some to my parents. I think it's nice. It's on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a very strong okay. It is like it's kind of weird. Can I do better prints? Yes, I can. I could do prints 10 times better than this thing. But there's just something about the okayness that I really dig about the photos.
Now, is it a quality that just, is it the quality that makes it just okay, or is it the ease of use?
I don't know. It's just okay. No. It comes in an okay package. They really made it look nice and hipster. You open it up from this like really photo, like it's a Ziploc bag, like the zip top. But it's like a nice heavy Ziploc bag where, you know, it's really protecting the photos in there. And then you take it out and then you look at them and then you give them to your friends and family. And it's really nice. It's really okay. It's funny. So there's a certain charm to it that I'm really enjoying this time around. That everybody should at least try it out once. It's going to cost you like maybe what, 20, 25 bucks to do a stack of square prints. And they have other options. I didn't try their books. I didn't try their large prints. Anything that big, I think, is going to, you know, I'll just go to my professional vendors for that stuff. But as far as like little things, as far as, you know, things for gift ideas, I think this is a really nice thing to do. I will do a video on it because I think it requires you to see it more than just what an audio podcast is going to do. But everybody should give it a try. Paravo Press should be, you know, on your iPhone. And for those of you people who would like something more immediate, something, you know, I don't want to wait a week. I want something right now. Well, there is something right now. And for those of you who may have heard my Fujifilm podcast, this is a great crossover because I have also recently printed the Fujifilm Instax SP2 printer. And what this is, everybody has seen the Instax mini cameras that Fujifilm has, where you take a photo with this camera and it spits out a little Polaroid type picture. I really wish we didn't call them Polaroids. They kind of turned into the Xerox of everything, but you know,
yes,
c'est la vie. So it spits out this little Polaroid print where, you know, it spits it out and then it develops in your hand. It's a little, I think, a 4x3 little Instax print. But you can get this for your iPhone. So I have, instead of the camera, it's just a Bluetooth printer that you're able to connect to via your iPhone. You just download the Fujifilm app and you just go around photographing and it spits out these little prints. this is another okay thing. Like when it spits out the print, it is very, very okay. It's not great. It's not horrible. It's okay.
This isn't the Z-Ink type technology.
This is not the godforsaken Z-Ink technology that Polaroid tried to hoist on me, boosting my hopes and dreams on this thing and then crushing it like it was a grape or Apple allowing raw photography on an iPhone. This is very quick. So I did a wedding over the weekend, and I had this thing snug in my front pocket. I was wearing a vest, and it was able to fit in my front pocket. So I'm walking around taking photos during the cocktail hour, and I am, you know, just, you know, if I came across a couple and I took their photo, I would step aside, you know, fiddle with the Fuji camera that I'm using, and then I just sent it to the printer. I could have easily did this with my iPhone. And then, you know, I just, you know, selected the photo and printed. And like 30 seconds later, this thing popped out and I would just hand it to the couple. And then they would watch it develop. And it's really cool. It was a huge, huge hit. And for those of you who don't want to buy the Fuji Instax cameras, because, you know, it's just a regular camera, nothing, you know, super about the camera, and you don't want to, you know, buy a Fuji camera itself, you know, I don't know why you'd say no, because they're awesome cameras. But that's neither here nor there in this wrong podcast. We are iPhone photographers in this realm. And it, I got to say, between printing a Fuji print and printing an iPhone print, it prints the iPhone photos better than the Fuji.
Really?
Yes. And this is a weird thing because you would imagine that Fujifilm cameras would be able to send the proper exposure to a Fujifilm printer.
Oh.
Not the case. In fact, for the longest time, you were not able to send a Fujifilm print from the Fujifilm camera to the Fujifilm printer. It was not compatible at the time. You could only use your iPhone.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you know, I love the camera, the company, but, you know, they're not perfect.
So how much was the printer?
The printer is $200.
Okay.
And it comes with its own rechargeable battery. It comes with, it doesn't come with any prints, by the way. You have to buy those separately. But they're essentially a bucket print. And again, it's very okay. If you're looking to, I wouldn't go about photographing like landscape photography and expecting, you know, a masterpiece to print out. This is more geared towards like a social gathering. If you're very much into people photography, street photography, this is something that's really, really good, you know, for it's geared towards that kind of printing. And if you're at parties, if you're you know, just having fun with friends and family, this is really good for those occasions. And I mean, again, I love this thing. This thing really shined at the last event that I was at, and everybody had a great time with it. And I think if you're into that kind of photography, into those little moments where, you know, if you're, again, I took many pictures of my son and daughter and my wife. And, you know, we have some of these Instax prints just hanging around the house. Yeah, they're all over the place. We're having a lot of fun with them. A little bit on the high end for the price, but I think it's worth it if you're going to be doing a lot of these.
Well, for the novelty of it and the portability, it seems like the price isn't overly expensive, and it's not, you know, it doesn't sound like it's a piece of junk.
Right. You're not spending $600 for a DxO camera attachment. You're spending $200 for a nice little printer.
Yeah.
That's my little soft jab at DxO. Take that, guys.
No, that's pretty cool. I'm going to have to try that out.
It's good. Again, the quality I would say is a little bit better than okay. It's like one notch better from okay, I would say. And as you know, my measurements are so accurate. But again, it's one of those things where the novelty of the moment really determines whether the print is going to be great or not. So if you're at a party, everybody's having a good time, throw one of these is just going to be icing on the cake. If the party is lousy or if you're not having a good time at all, I don't see why you would want to pull this thing out. it's not exactly a great, again, you're only capturing the moment, and the moment is only as good as the moment. Put that on a postcard.
Very so, cool.
Yeah. Right on. Whew, that was a mouthful. I'm sorry. I talked so much.
No, that's cool. It's actually, I think it's been a while since we've done any talks on printing. And especially, this is quite different because it is a Fuji Polaroid type print. It's not a it's not that Z Ink nonsense that we tried out.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that a lot of companies are jumping in on this bandwagon. I wouldn't be surprised to see if Apple makes their own version at some point. I think Leica just came out with their own instant camera. Polaroid has already copied Fuji in making their own instant camera. I say that with spite because I have a love-hate relationship with Polaroid. That's a long story. And unfortunately, we don't have the podcast to explain it anymore. I don't know. I think Lomography has their own version. You have the Impossible Project that is doing their own thing. You have a lot of cool things out there to do these prints. And, if the Fujifilm isn't your cup of tea, I think there's another option out there that'll allow you to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So give it a go and let us know what you find out.
Cool. Looks like B&H has the printer for 160.
There's the... funny, you should mention that. I'm talking about the Instax SP2. If you don't want to pay the $200, you can get the SP1 version, which is a lot cheaper. The big difference is it doesn't print out as fast, and it takes AA batteries instead of having its own printer and charger. Okay. If you could deal with that, then hey, that's all fine. Everything else is same old. So.
I'm glad you clarified that.
No problem. And I don't know, guys. I think that's it. That's all I have in my tank. We've had a rocky start with the internet problems, the Skype issues. What say we spend, we wait on the post pick of the week and all that jazz, since it is getting pretty late, and we wrap things up.
All right. Do you want to? Okay. So yeah, definitely. Never mind. I was going to suggest something, but you already said it.
No problem. I think for next week, let's do this. Since this episode is was a little broken, let's say, underdeveloped for those in the know. Next week we will really put our nose to the grindstone as far as the raw capabilities. Matt, you and I are the only ones on the show that can do the raw stuff. Joe, you can watch us intently while we do the raw.
Yes.
While we do the raw, that's going to change our rating a little bit. And then I think, I don't know, do you think we should offer an additional challenge to everybody in our Facebook group to take their best raw photos? I say it's like a supplemental thing because not everybody's going to be capable of photographing raw.
Well, I mean, I don't see why it should be a challenge, but I think everybody that has the capability of doing it should at least let's do this. Let's create a thread on Facebook and have people put it in there. We'll keep track of it because it won't be pinned to the top, so we'll try to keep it as close to the top of the Facebook page as possible. And, you know, just start submitting images that were shot with RAW and edited and see what we can get compared to, say, what we would have gotten with JPEG.
Right on. I like that. Cool. All right, guys. Let's tell the world where they can find us on the web. How about you, Matt?
All right, you can check me out on Instagram, IM, Twitter, and Flickr at M Hoffman Photo.
And you, Joe?
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
And you can find me on Instagram, IM, Mark Sadowski. And thank you all for listening to this very, oh my God, I'm being attacked by a moth. Very good. You guys are having technical trouble. I'm having the natural ones. It's usually either a cat that's bothering me, but a moth flew in. Yeah, so it's been a difficult episode. We hope to have things squared away next week. All of our bugs and the figurative and literal. So thank you very much for listening and bearing with us. That's it. We will see you guys next week. And yes, definitely share your photos. You could do so by going to tinyshutter.com and follow the link to our Facebook group where you can share your photos. You can also find our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/tinyshutter. And I will be putting up more videos about the prints and a whole bunch of other crazy stuff. So thank you very much for listening, and we will see you guys next week. And I am trying to stall so I can find the music to end it. All right, good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Dumb bastards.
Anyway, man, in shape.
Please, not to throw away. I give you a happy poopy time.
Sorry, you know too much.
There we go.
I tell you what, I'm glad you recorded because the audio that I got was garbage.
That's because I was doing most of the talking.
No.
Zing. I beat you to it, Matt.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.